Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Today, as you know, we're in a series. It's called the Harvest Series. And you say, well, how are you going to make Harvest and Pentecost Sunday work together? Watch, it's going to happen. Because I believe that Harvest is, we're going to talk about the instant harvest of the Spirit. And we're going to find our association of the scriptures that we're going to have. And we're going to find ourselves in Acts chapter 2 and pick up some verses there. So as soon as a basket passes by your station, would you please stand with me? And we're going to read some scripture, and God's going to really bless that. So stand to your feet, and we'll get into it. We're going to start with Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to go to 17 through 21, and then 37 through 39. And you'll find the responding scriptures on the screen behind me. This is what it says. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 17 says, and this is Joel saying this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I will show wonders in the heaven and above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall return to the And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got a couple of verse 37 is yours. Read that one. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's verse 39 together. Let's read this. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is a new day, but Lord, it's not a new experience, because Lord, your Spirit is here today. And before we leave this auditorium, we trust that we will see a manifestation of your Spirit in ways we have yet to experience. And God, we thank you for this day that we celebrate Pentecost, not as an event, but as an experience that should be evident in our lives every day. Holy Spirit, manifest yourself in this place in such a way that people will for the first time in their lives will experience visions from you, dreams from you, but most of all, an empowerment to do all the works that you said we should do. Lord, manifest these things, we pray, in the power and the name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. You know, when you try to think about harvest, an instantaneous harvest, I believe there's a conclusion that God has today, and we'll see how he wants to even conclude this service. But here's a couple of things I want to say to you, that regardless of how we methodically, getting back to the whole idea about harvesting, we plant certain things, we methodically do certain things, and watering and seeds and harvesting a crop, we will never be able to outdo the supernatural intervention of the Holy Spirit. He can do what it takes us months to do, he can do in an instant. Oh, yes, he can. And I believe he's going to show himself to do that today. Now, I got some believers in the house that believe that God does stuff like that, so I don't feel like I'm here alone. The arrival of the Spirit and the manifestations that followed were the result of obedience of those who were willing to wait upon the appointed time for the Lord to do what he's going to do. Now, for you to understand what was going on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't just all of a sudden that, but 10 days people met together praying, not even knowing what to expect. Do you have that kind of faith? Jesus says, you know, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to stay there until the manifestation happens. They had no idea what was going to happen. I got some questions for you, and then we're going to move right into this message. First question is this. Have you come to the realization that the fullness of the Spirit is a promise available to all believers? Everybody say all.
All.
And say, that means me. So the manifestation, and I'm not here to push an ideology or a theology or anything of this nature, but rather an experience with Jesus that you may be longing to have, that Jesus wants to fill your life with all that he is so you can be all that he wants you to be. How about this? Number two, are you willing to embrace the fact that those who would deem to be the most unqualified or unlikely to be used of God are those chosen by him? Here's the part about this whole thing about the experience of the Holy Spirit. The spokesperson on the day of the Pentecost, in my opinion, was the most unqualified, disqualified person there was on the planet. And we'll tell you why. Peter was anointed to preach, and Peter was the one who denied Jesus. Not once, but several occasions. Now, I want you to stop for a moment and just kind of look at your record. Your faithfulness to God and how many times you told Jesus no or didn't say anything. And not to say anything is the very fact that you agreed with the devil not speaking up when Jesus told you to. But I want to give you some hope today. God can still use you. God is not angry with you. Today, if you will repent and go back to that particular place, God can use you more than you could ever imagine. Give me to number three. Here we go. Are you willing to claim your inheritance of the promise of the Spirit upon your life continually? May I say this to you? Let bygones be bygones. The things you didn't do, the things you didn't do very well and that type of thing. Would you let go of that and let Jesus do what he wants to do in your life today? Because here we go. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit will bring conviction and not shame into our lives. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. And when he has come, now note there, he is capitalized. He is a person, not an it. Now, I have to admit, I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and our theology was a little squirrely. Because when it came upon you, sometimes you'd act crazy, whatever it was. But I want to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he does not cause you to be crazy. Now, I'll tell you, if you get resistant, you may look a little weird. But I'll tell you much. But when he has come upon you, the Bible says, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Those are three things he does. And I want you to use a word here where you use the word convict and not condemn. There's a vast difference between conviction and condemnation. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you've been walking after the flesh, good luck with that. But after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. So that being the case, he moves us into to an experience. And he says, convict and judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. If you're feeling judgment right now, I want to tell you why. It's because of the devil. It's because of the devil. He'll bring guilt, shame, and all his unbelief into your life and cause you all types of problems. But moving forward into this, guilt and shame are products used by the devil to prevent us from becoming or from coming to Jesus or becoming like Jesus. There are people in this room right now that I'm believing that by the end of this service is over, you will be able to forsake all the judgment and such, and you'll be able to turn your life completely over to Jesus, and it's going to be a whole new day for you. You say, that's a pretty bold statement. Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to do that, to take away judgment, condemnation away from you, where you can feel free to be all that God wants you to be. Now, what that means is the Holy Spirit is the only person who can bring true conviction into the life of a person. You know, conviction is an amazing thing because, I don't know whether, we used to watch Perry Mason. You know, people get up, they just lie and carry on. It wasn't, I don't know what happened, this type of thing. And finally, you know, I like when it comes to the point where they finally have to admit it's wrong. It was me. I did it. He was vermin. I killed him. I killed him. I kill him again. She was no good. Oh, yeah. People get, they get all emotional. Yeah. Because they realize, finally, they had to admit, yeah, it was me. You know, but here's the thing about conviction of the Holy Spirit. Conviction is to remove the condemnation, to admit what Jesus already knows. How about this? Conviction is a conscience based, which brings us into accountability of what we know to be right. See, some of y'all like to play crazy. Like you got to admit, I don't know how that happened. Yes, you do. It's your fingerprints on that baby. All over it. Well, don't have time to go into that, but I hope that'll help you. The Bible is clear with its definition of sin. Let's go to our definition for sin. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's about as basic as you get. Now, when you chose to call someone outside of their name with expletives, and you know that that's wrong, guess what that is? It's sin. We don't need any graphs to figure that out. Because you know ahead of time, but all of a sudden your emotions and various things take over. And you tell me, I needed to tell her. No, you didn't. You needed to forgive her. But there's something wrong with your software went to the opposite extreme. But the Holy Spirit is one, he doesn't bring condemnation. He'll just say, you know what? You get down that road, you're not going to be too happy with it. And he's like, I'm going to do it anyway. How did that work for you? Let me move on. When you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. The Holy Spirit brings conviction to all sinners. After our conversion, the Holy Spirit is committed to work out salvation in us. Amen? You're not complete yet. The Holy Spirit's still working in your life and is there to help you to navigate all the temptations you have as an individual. You know, it's amazing that it's like the Holy Spirit is your GPS. You know what GPS means? God Protective System. Don't forget that. And that just came out of my head right now. I didn't... It's not on my paper, so there you go. That's a freebie. Okay. He's protecting you. And have you ever, I know you people have a GPS, all of a sudden it says recalculating. You wouldn't kind of follow what it says. It says recalculating. That means we're still going over there, but we're going to have to find a different route because you missed a turn. The Holy Spirit is a recalculating principle in your life, but when you're trying to go crazy, he still is committed to get you to the right place. When you don't feel like you're going the right direction, the Holy Spirit will recalculate. Hold on, baby. Turn left. Well, I don't like how that feels. Turn right. Then sometimes he'll say, turn around. I want to help you today. I want you to get you to the place where you're willing to be obedient to what doesn't feel like, well, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like it's the right way. What do you know? That's your problem. You've been using your feelings all this time and you get yourself in trouble. Come on, Pastor. Well. Oh, you keep on praying. I'm going to preach in a minute. The Holy Spirit brings our hearts into alignment to hate the things that the Lord hates. Ooh. Bible says this. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of. it seemed right to me. I mean, it just really met all my needs emotionally. And I just, every time I'm with him, I just feel, oh, I can't live without her. Every time, I got to move on because... Days of our lives as the world turns, search for tomorrow, all my children, that's where y'all are living. In drama and all that kind of stuff, God help you today. To have convictions regarding righteousness will expose hypocrisy in our hearts. Can I get an amen? Because here's what that means. A righteous heart finds peace in doing the will of God. I can tell you right now why you don't have any peace. You're out of the will of God. That's too simple. The Bible says he'll make the way so plain a fool can't err, so it's got to be simple. Because some of y'all is, well, anyway. I don't, this Bible says be careful, don't call people fools, but you qualify, okay? Righteousness exposes religion and the deception that would make us think that its purity comes from us. Religion. Religious. Now, let me help you with this because I don't want to get off to a tangent to a place where it will cause people to go astray from the truth. Because I know there are righteous habits and things that we should do daily, like praying and reading the word and such like that. That's not religion. That's health to your soul. The Bible says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. When you search the scriptures, it's a testimony to your spirit that you're on the right track. Okay? When you pray, you're seeking a relationship with God. Those are things that keep your soul alive and on the right track. That's not religion. That's relationship. So don't ever say, oh, I don't, this thing about reading the scripture, I think that's just religion. I think I can just make it on my own. Good luck with that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. You'll find yourself stumbling and doing all kinds of crazy things if you don't rely upon the word of God to give you the right direction. Well, that being the case, there's some other things I feel that would be appropriate. So the other thing is, when we allow Jesus to remain in us, his presence sanctifies everything that is around us. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, truth is not a postulate. Postulate meaning an idea, an ideology or a theory or whatever you want to hold on to. Jesus said this. It was right after those people that were worried about what was going to happen with him. They said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. He says, how can we know the way? They're really concerned. And Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth. The truth is not an idea, it's a person. He is a person. He is a person. He is a person. You want to know what truth is? Get to know Jesus. Everything about him is true. Everything about him is right. Everything about him is pure. Everything about him is holy. Everything about him is everything that you need. That's who you need to get to know. You need to get to know Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit will make us aware of the things that will make us more like Jesus. Little song, some of you Sunday school folks is, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. Do you really want to be like him? I need to tell you something. You need to know him sometimes in the fellowship of his suffering. Ooh. 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 That's part of being like Jesus. Because every door was not open to him. People didn't get all excited. They said, oh, well, he came into, came riding on a donkey. There's a Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And those same people were saying, crucify him. Do not set your example on the things that people are doing. Being like Jesus sometimes will cause you. They that live godly shall suffer. So if you haven't suffered any persecution lately, I'd probably have to say to you, I'd have to check it out, see if you're really going to try to be like Jesus. Some of us are trying to be liked by everybody. I'm going to leave it alone because I'm tempted. I'm going to leave it alone. The Holy Spirit will show us how to bring glory to Jesus. If you take yourself off center stage, if I will do the same thing, Jesus will be glorified in us through the suffering that we'll experience. And one other thing I would add to this before we move on is the Holy Spirit will allow us to share in the inheritance with Jesus. You know what Jesus' greatest inheritance was? His relationship with the Father. He says, I don't do anything without consulting with him. I don't live my life separate or separated from him. And I believe you that some of us say, it's put you in relationship with the Father. That when the Bible says, when Jesus taught us to pray, they said, Master, teach us how to pray. He says, when you pray, do this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When we're praying for the kingdom of God to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we have a relationship that we're going to say, you know, sometimes for his will to be done on earth, it's going to cause you a little difficulty. It's going to cause you to be ostracized at times, but that's kind of how it works. Let me just go a little bit fast forward to a couple of things that I would think would be important. The Holy Spirit will take control of the most unruly part of our body, the tongue. James chapter 3, verse 6. He said, I know he's going to talk about this. Here we go. Okay. The tongue is a fire. Yeah, smoking the bandits for some of y'all. Okay. A world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by, oh, you said, hell. By hell. By hell. Some of you got a lot of hell coming out of your mouth. You know what hell does? It glorifies the devil. I don't mind saying it out loud because somebody says, oh, you know, that really wasn't me. Yes, it was. Your tongue isn't making up words. It's just distributing the things you thought of and put language to them. Oops, that slipped out. No, it didn't slip out, honey. You opened the gate. What was I thinking? We know what you're thinking because your mouth just told me. Oh, I'm going to help. Somebody going to get saved today. I'm going to pray God going to save somebody today. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, we will be able to tame the most unruly part of our body. And that's the reason why I believe that Jesus, the Father, made a decision that if the Holy Spirit can get a hold of the most unruly part of our body and cause it to praise God, there's hope for us. Because you folks, we've been shanghaied, ambushed in all kinds of different ways because of things we've said that we allowed into our spirit and gave a voice to it. What does that mean? Jesus chose the most unruly part of our body to put under arrest of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit redeemed the tongue by allowing it to speak of the glorious things of God. I want to just mention a couple of things real quickly before I move on. Because when the Holy Spirit experience was coming along, the people were kind of amazed at what was happening. Going a little bit further, in the sound of cord, and they were speaking in their own language. And verse 7 says, and then they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these speak Galileans? How is it that we hear them speak in our own language, which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Persia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And so they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? But here's the other side. Other people said, they mocked them and said, they're all drunk. Ever heard a drunk person speak? I don't know what you're trying to do. I'm just happy to be here. You may pick up a word here and there, but drunk people don't do so good. I've got something for you, and if you want to get this particular website, just phone the office, we'll send it to you by email. But I came across something, and actually something that was verified before I even tell you about this. It was on the national news several years ago. But it was actually a scientifically experiment that was done on people who speak in tongues. I have it. I'll send it to you. And you examine it for yourself. It proves infallibly that when people are speaking in tongues, it is no longer being processed by their brain, but their brain is being intercepted by a force or whatever they say that they cannot understand that takes over the place where the actual resources would come from and is interceded by this, and they're able to speak in tongues, not from this planet, but from another planet. God himself. Absolute 100% truth. Really? Some of you thought we were making up stuff all this time. Let me tell you once and for all, we are not that intelligent. We're just not. And the Bible says who speaks in tongues speaks unto God. But then in this particular case, God was able to alter their ability to speak in languages they had never heard before. And I have been I've talked to several missionaries who have been to different places in the world where God has supernaturally allowed them to speak the language of the people just for the sake of preaching to them, and they went back there and they never spoke it again. Don't tell me what God can't do. He's able to do exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or even imagine. Just because your little small mind can't comprehend doesn't mean God can't do it. God is not inhibited by your thought process. God is able to do exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or even imagine. But for you skeptics, I got some proof for you. Just send something, a little email there, and I'll send it to you, and you sit down there and just feel pitiful. Your doubting self, God bless your heart, stony-hearted folk like you can't get nothing done. Spend more time trying to get you straight than when I can preach the gospel to folks who need it. Well, let me go on. Now, Peter was able to declare the works and the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. I love this scripture here. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. This is Peter, the guy who copped out on Jesus, says, I don't know him. And then he had the nerve to try to cuss. Dag nabbit, I said, I don't know him. Could have said dag nabbit, could have said mud puddle, I don't know. But the deal is this. Peter was redeemed by the Spirit when he boldly declared this. Jesus fulfilled his promise to give Peter power to declare the truth about Jesus, and signs and wonders were released to all believers to receive and act upon, and the promise of the Spirit was being poured out on all for all to hear it and to see it. Now, listen to this. The power and presence of Jesus was apparent by the outpouring of the Spirit. Now, let me clarify something. The manifestation of the Spirit through speaking in tongues, I want to let you know that is not your, your badge of excellence. Because I grew up in a church where people who spoke in tongues, all of a sudden they were part of the elite. I have my spiritual language. And God and I communicate on a regular basis. And I just go in my closet and I speak to him for hours and hours and hours and hours. Really? But what have you done lately for the kingdom of God? How about you speaking English to that person down the street who needs to know about Jesus? Don't get all proud and poking out your chest about how much you spend in the presence of God. In my prayer closet. Get out the closet and tell somebody about Jesus. Some of y'all are so pitiful. I just have my time and I just read the Bible. And we just have a wonderful time. No, honey, shut up and get out there and say something to somebody. Lord, help you with your... Well, anyway, God bless me. God's reeling me in. Supernatural manifestations are often signs given by the Spirit to increase our faith, but signs and wonders are expression of the Spirit to bring us closer to the Lord. I'm going to speak something prophetically, not because of me, but because of Him. Many of you sitting in this room today are going to find yourself under the influence of the Spirit to speak boldly on His behalf in ways you never have before. You say, what? Because the fear is going to be lifted off of you, because really you'll have something to say that will produce life. You know, some people say, well, I'm just engaging people in conversation. How about telling them about Jesus? That'd be wonderful. Well, the miracle of speaking in tongues was a powerful tool of blessing, of opening the door to faith and miracles, which means that when the Holy Spirit comes in, He desires to open our hearts to receive the goodness and the greatness of the Lord. So that was what it was all about. And so the people, they're experiencing this, and it just is concerned. First of all, you know, the people said, oh, they're just drunk. The world's going to have some sort of an excuse. Or they're fanatics. Or whatever they called you. We were called holy rollers. I'm going to be honest with you, some of them did roll. Yes, they did. On the floor over and over and over again. Strange things, you know, run laps and kind of things like that. But don't label that as being all that the Holy Spirit is, because that's not true. Now, I realize that people respond to certain things emotionally, and let me just take a pause here to help some of you people that are Presbyterian. Father Dennis Bennett, I can't remember the name of the church, it's up in Washington, who's Presbyterian. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he began to speak in tongues. The people in his parish were like, oh! I mean, some of them passed out. But like I told you last week, but he was still drinking scotch. And see, that messes with somebody. How can you speak in the Spirit and drink scotch and bourbon? Really? And this is not to license any type of behavior, but I want to let you know the Holy Spirit can transcend all the things that are locked up in your mind that you say what He cannot do. Because I remember that you know, some of you folks would never be saved in my church. You know why? Because you wear lipstick. And you are Jezebel's sister. Wearing your open-toed shoes. Just a devil incarnate. When you try to position it into a lifestyle like that, you get all kinds of things thrown in there. But then you forget about the people in places like Africa where they don't have any shoes. You worry about open-toed, they ain't got no shoes. And what you gonna do with them? Put on some shoes so you can know Jesus? Come on. We do crazy stuff. I'm here to deliver you today. I'm almost there. Well, we must resist the skepticism that some will try to use to confront what confounds their earthly wisdom and knowledge to understand. We must choose to believe the word of God and the promise that are available to those who have hope, will receive hope and encouragement. Now, the simple truth of the Holy Spirit starts with our willingness to repent. Do you know what started this whole thing? This great harvest that we're going to talk about for these last few minutes. Because it came to an impasse at what was going on. And they said, and after he said all this, and the Bible says, verse 37, and now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Anybody want to know what to do? Wave your hand at me. Somebody said, I don't know whether I want to wave my hand or not. The very first thing he says is repent. Do you know what the word repent means? It means to assess the assumptions that you've had all of your life that kept you in a place where you didn't need to repent and say, you know what? I was wrong about the way I thought or my behavior, and I need to let go of that if I want to have the promise of God in my life. I'm going to teach us all how to repent, myself included, that all the things you choose that you want to be right about, you are a little bit skewed off the right, off the wrong side of the tracks. Well, this will help some of you. How many of you have ever believed something that you found out later was wrong? The rest of you are lying. Because you think you've been batting 100%, you are deceived by the devil, and hell will be your home. Ooh, that's rough. No, he said, repent is the opening door for the filling of the Spirit. You know, the people that you made fun of. Repent. Repent of the idea that you thought that you deserved to be filled with the Spirit. Repent of the jealousy that's been in your heart of people that were operating in the Spirit. I want you to repent of all that stuff. And so what he says, he repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amazing thing. I'm going to finish this up in just a moment. Repentance is our willingness to admit the things that were wrong and contrary to the things of God. Repentance also begins with our confession of admitting that there is nothing right about the wrong that we have done. I'm going to show you how some of us repent. Lord, I repent of what I did, but it's not as bad as what she did. Because you feel righteous in your repentance. If you feel righteous in your repentance, you have not repented. Well, there's a whole lot more people worse than I am. You know, they lie and steal and this type of thing. I don't do that type. Now, I may cuss a little bit now and then, but I ain't like them. Really? You feel good about your sin because it's not as bad as their sin. Pharisee. When we take ownership of the wrong that we have done, we will find forgiveness of our sins. Baptism is more than a ritual. I'm talking about water baptism in these last couple minutes. Verse 36 to 38. This is great. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Go on to the next verse, please. Verse 37. Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. You just witnessed baptism here, and I have something to add to this in just a moment. But I want to simplify this whole thing. And I want to say something rather profound. There are people here today that need to repent and need to get baptized. Are you ready for this? Today. Amen. You say, what? I'm not ready. But I am. I got a change of clothes backstage. I got a robe to put on you. And when this service is over, if you commit your life to Jesus, you can repent and be baptized today. And you know, it gets better. And Elder Lee, he said something to me. He said when I was already thinking it, and get filled with the Holy Spirit all at the same time. Get it all done in one day. Some of you are marinating, don't head for the door yet. I ain't done. Because they say, well, how's that going to work? We got black robes. They ain't going to show none of whatever you got. And I said, find the longest ones you can. It can cover up anything. I'll get back to that in just a minute because I got to finish my message and then I'm going to tell you all the particulars. Some of you are so nervous. Oh, what am I going to do? Get saved. get baptized. And I know that I know. Somebody here needs to get saved and baptized today. You say, Pastor, you're semi-retired. I ain't retired nothing, baby, on this one. Because every day I wake up in the morning, I'm looking for Jesus, who you want to save today, who you want to use me to talk to today. Until I might draw my last breath, honey, I'm going to be ravenous after the devil. And if it was up to me, the devil would be in hell by himself. Whew. Got that out. Praise him. If we truly believe Jesus, we will find ways to obey rather than to delay. That was another one of them Holy Spirit things. He said, we will obey rather than... I said, Jesus, that's good. I'm going to write that down. Obey rather than delay. What's your excuse today? Well, you know, I just don't feel comfortable. It ain't about your comfort. It's about your obedience of doing what God has told you to do. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He's a promise of Jesus that he will never leave us. He will guide us into all truth. He will bring us comfort. He will bring us guidance. He will release gifts in our lives to bring glory to him. And the gift of tongues is a manifestation that will bring edification to the believer and glorify God. Now, we must seek the giver more than the gift. Amen. Seek Jesus, and you'll find him when you search with him. Search for him with all of your heart. Well, he will fulfill the promise of his presence in our lives. What I've said all today was a manifestation of an instant harvest. And honestly and truly, I believe that the revival of what God is doing right now calls for an instant harvest. But I want to tell you how I arrive at that conclusion. And I struggled with this for a long period of time over people that are biblically illiterate. In other words, they don't know who Daniel is. They don't know, some of them don't know who Adam and Eve are and this other type of stuff. Don't know who Moses and Elijah and all the different Old Testament characters. They don't know who, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the New Testament. And I felt, and this is just how my crazy head works sometimes. It's like, God, so how are they going to get saved? How are they going to learn all the Bible characters and the Bible stories? And I almost made that a prerequisite of them following Jesus. And so that kind of spun around in my head for a while. He says, and you know what God told me? Something, really something. He says, why don't you get them saved first? Get them saved first. And you'll be amazed at the things that God will, for a person really seeking out to know Jesus and offering the opportunity to get saved and have a relationship with him, of what God can do. And so today, I want to offer something. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to adjust the stage here in just a minute. But I'm stepping out in faith today, and I believe that Jesus is talking to some people right now. That you need to turn your life over to Jesus. And when I say turn your life over to Jesus, I mean in a way you never have before, or maybe for the very first time. And you need to witness that particular surrender by getting baptized today. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. He said it. In the name of Jesus. Intercessors, start praying right now. In the name of Jesus. I want to remove every doubt, every fear. And actually, there's some people here today who at some time in their life had made a commitment to follow Jesus, and you are totally backslidden from that initial commitment, and you felt that God would never make contact with you again. But somehow in your heart, it's stirring up a relationship that needs to be renewed. In the name of Jesus. We're going to reprise the song, He Made a Way, and I don't know how we're going to do it, but I want them to move that little thing out of the way because we're going to baptize some folks. I ain't playing. But right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, come into this place with boldness, with power, with anointing, and bring people to yourself. With every head bowed, every eye closed. My question is, where are you? If that's you today and you need to get baptized today, we'll work out the details. I want you to lift your hand right now. If that's you, lift it up. God bless you. There's one right there. There's two right there. Who else? Leave them up there just for a moment. There's at least two men that need to, men, step up to the plate. God's talking to you. You can put those, ladies, put your hands down. There's at least two men that need to do that right now. Do it right now in Jesus' name. God has been speaking to you. He's been directing your heart. This is your day. I'm just going to wait another moment because disobedience will get there. Thank you, sir. And where's the other one? There's one more man right now in Jesus' name. You better come to Jesus right now. Those of you that made that particular declaration, I want you to move to the side aisle over here. The backstage, they will have robes for you to put on. We'll figure this thing out. But move to my left, to your right. Do it right now in Jesus' name. 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 That's right. In Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, while we're getting ready, choir, I want you to come back up here. I want you to sing He Made a Way so that'll give me enough time to change my clothes. But the next time you see me, I'm going to be in the pool.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.